It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up later in the program, we'll look at a new report that lays out strategies for building economic mobility and creating opportunities for young people in the Great Lakes region. First, it's time for our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. Yesterday, a federal court halted President Trump's proposed ban on transgender service members in the military, finding that the community is already suffering harmful consequences as a result of the plan. A judge also ruled yesterday to block Trump's executive order seeking to cut federal funds for so-called sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration authorities. We'll also talk about the president's comments yesterday regarding Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore, who's been accused of sexual misconduct with underage girls in the 1970s. Unlike many other Republicans, the president refused to call for Moore to drop out of the race. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the court ruling to stop the president's ban on transgender military service members? Do you think a federal judge was right to block the executive order to cut funding to sanctuary cities? And are you disappointed in the president for not rebuking Roy Moore? Or do you think he was right to stop short of saying he believed the allegations against him? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. Callum Borchers covers the intersection of politics and the media for The Fix at The Washington Post. Callum, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be with you.
Let's start with that federal judge's ruling yesterday that blocked President Trump's proposed ban on transgender service members. What did the judge say in his ruling?
Well, essentially, the judge shot down the government's contention that the plaintiffs in the case are not experiencing any harm already. Their argument is that there is no sign that the president's ruling will be detrimental to these service members. And Judge Marvin Garbus in Maryland said, no, we're already seeing, as he said, quote, harmful consequences such as the cancellation and postponements of surgeries. The stigma of being set apart is inherently unfit. And so I think that was sort of a key point right there, which was that even before this decision by the president goes into effect, that transgender service members are already feeling negative effects.
This is now the second court decision against this ban. A federal judge last month prohibited a ban on recruiting transgender service members. How does yesterday's decision expand on that?
It did. It went a little bit farther than the first ruling, which came out of Washington, which had but what it did was, I think probably most significantly, was say that the government cannot deny transgender service members the ability to undergo gender reassignment surgeries at the government expense. That was not part of the first ruling out of Washington. And that's a big deal, because keep in mind that the president's argument from the get-go has been that it is just too expensive for the government to pay for the medical treatment of these transgender service members. Now, that's kind of a dubious argument, largely because we're talking about a small slice of service members here. You know, estimates range pretty broadly from, you know, as few as 2,500 service members to as many as 15,000. So there is a big range there. But one of my colleagues here at the Post, Chris Ingram, broke down the numbers, and he looked at, you know, what would be the estimate for transgender service members' medical costs? And the RAND Corporation put it at the most at a little over $8 million a year. So that's out of like a $6 billion military budget. It's a drop in the bucket. And as Chris pointed out, the military spends more than $40 million a year on Viagra pills for its service members. So, you know, we're talking about spending way more money already on erectile dysfunction treatment. So the president's argument that it's just too expensive sort of flies in the face of the facts.
Who are the plaintiffs in this case, Callum?
Well, the lead plaintiff here is Navy Petty Officer First Class Brock Stone, and he's based at Fort Meade. He's been in the Navy for 11 years. He did a tour of Afghanistan, and he was out speaking to reporters yesterday. And he is representing a class of service members who are now serving openly. Keep in mind that since President Obama rolled back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, some of these service members who had been closeted in the past came out and now are sort of worried about sort of a betrayal by a military that a couple of years ago said, you can come out of the shadows, and is now perhaps saying, because you have exposed yourself, you're going to need to get out of the service.
And so how have the White House and the Department of Justice responded to yesterday's ruling?
Well, they haven't said a whole lot. I mean, they've said that they disagree with the judge's ruling and that they're going to go back and regroup and that they're going to continue to fight the decision in court and try to appeal it. But we haven't seen exactly what they might do to either tweak the order itself or to change their argument.
And as we look back at that initial announcement from the White House about banning transgender members of the military, it seemed to have caught a lot of military leaders off guard, and there was talk that a lot of military leaders did not agree with it and were not in favor of that ban. Do we know how they've been handling the president's demand to ban the transgender service members since that happened?
Well, yeah, this did seem to be sort of the classic cart before the horse situation, didn't it? As you said, they were kind of caught off guard, and they have continued to sort of study the matter. The key phrase they always talk about is military readiness, right? So what would be the effect of allowing transgender members or recruiting more transgender members of the military to serve openly be? And those conclusions have not been fully drawn, which is why members of the Armed Services Committee and other military leaders had seemingly been wanting more time here. And that would seem to be a factor, by the way, in Judge Garbus's ruling yesterday. You know, part of his, again, I'm sort of quoting from his decision here, and he writes that a capricious, arbitrary, and unqualified tweet of new policy does not trump the methodical and systemic review by military stakeholders. In other words, the judge is saying, you know, you've sort of pulled this policy change out of left field without the proper review process and done so on Twitter. And keep in mind also that this is a judge who was a Bush 41 appointee. So this is not, you know, we've heard the president in the past with his immigration order complain about, it's, according to him, all the liberals on the Ninth Circuit. But that's not what we're talking about here. This is a conservative judge.
With these two judicial rulings against the transgender ban and the Department of Justice saying that they'll keep fighting it, where do transgender members of the military stand right now?
Well, they're in limbo, aren't they? You know, they are still in the service, and they are still allowed to receive medical treatment at the government's expense. So those sort of tangible things have not changed, and that is, of course, was part of the government's argument here to say that these folks have not experienced any harm yet. But as the judge found in the ruling this week, it's not just about the tangible effects, right? There are some intangible qualities as well, and sort of taking into account the distress and uncertainty placed upon them is a factor too. Largely because the president himself was very ambiguous when he announced this policy decision on Twitter. For instance, he didn't make clear whether he was talking only about the recruitment of new soldiers or whether he was going to be sort of hunting for transgender members of the military and kicking out the ones who are already in.
We're taking a look at The Week in Washington with Callum Borchers of The Washington Post. And Callum, another court development this week, a federal judge blocked President Trump's executive order to cut funding for so-called sanctuary cities that choose not to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. Where did that come from?
Yeah, this was a striking one to me because it seemed to kind of be the opposite of what the president has argued all along about his predecessor. He's talked repeatedly about President Obama supposedly overreaching on his executive authority and trying to legislate from the Oval Office. And this is a case in which the court said, well, that's sort of what you're trying to do here, because Congress, in appropriating these funds for cities, states, didn't place any conditions on the way they would handle immigration. And so you, as the executive branch, you can't go back later and just sort of attach new conditions to those funds and say, well, if you don't do this or you don't comply in this fashion with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, then you don't get your money.
So this ruling seems to hinge less on the merits of the immigration argument itself and more on the ability, as you said, of the president to put controls on congressional spending. The Justice Department reacted to the ruling by saying it would, quote, vindicate the president's lawful authority to direct the executive branch. What argument are they making for that reach of executive power?
Well, their argument is that these sanctuary cities are not following the law, that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is simply trying to enforce the immigration laws that are already on the books, and that they need the cooperation of local law enforcement agencies. What's interesting, though, again, about this argument is that it is, once again, sort of the reverse of a traditional states' rights, decentralized government argument that you would get from a conservative Republican administration, right? So part of the pushback from these local law enforcement agencies has been, you know, we have limited resources. We have only so many spaces in our jails. Our officers have only so many hours to try to enforce our local laws. We can't just be pulled in to doing the jobs of federal agents. You know, if you want to send your ICE agents down to enforce the law, go ahead, by all means, but don't expect us to do the job for you. That type of local autonomy would typically be consistent with a Republican philosophy, but of course, we're talking about immigration, and this is kind of a special circumstance.
Callum Borchers is with us for our weekly look at national news. He covers politics and the media for The Washington Post. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on court rulings blocking White House orders banning transgender military members and cutting federal funds for sanctuary cities? And what do you think about the president's comments on allegations of sexual misconduct against Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore? Was he right to suggest support for Moore's campaign? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we pick up our look at the week's top political news with Callum Borchers of The Washington Post, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. In the controversy over Senate candidate Roy Moore, do you think he should drop out of the race over allegations of inappropriate contact with underage girls? What about President Trump's comments on the allegations? And we'll also talk about the Republican tax overhaul bill currently in the U.S. Senate. What are your thoughts there? Do you think it will benefit you? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And let's move to the controversy over a special election in Alabama now, Callum. It's for a U.S. Senate seat coming up on December 12th. Republican candidate Roy Moore has been accused of having sexual contact with underage girls in the 1970s, and some Republicans have called for him to drop out of the race. President Trump was asked about the allegations yesterday, and he refused to condemn Moore. Here's what he had to say.
Roy Moore denies it. And by the way, he gives a total denial. And I do have to say, 40 years is a long time. He's run 8 races, and this has never come up. So 40 years is a long time. The women are Trump voters. Most of them are Trump voters. All you can do is you have to do what you have to do. He totally denies it.
Callum, that position certainly seems to put the president at odds with a lot of GOP leadership. What do you think is behind that comment?
Yeah, two things stand out to me there. One, first of all, is sort of a quick fact check, which is that it is not exactly true to say that Roy Moore totally denies the allegations against him. Now, he totally denies sexually touching 14-year-old Lee Korfman, but he has been fuzzier on the matter of whether he did, in fact, date or try to date teenage girls when he was in his 30s. Recall that about 2 weeks ago, he was asked this question by Sean Hannity, and he said, well, that wasn't my my general practice, and I never dated a girl without asking permission from her mother. So he hasn't exactly shot down these allegations altogether. The other thing that stands out to me is what you don't hear from President Trump in that soundbite, and something he didn't say, is, "I believe Roy Moore." He's not saying that he doesn't believe the women or that he believes Roy Moore is telling the truth. In fact, what the president went on to say as his justification was that we need this Republican seat in the Senate. We don't want a liberal in there. We need somebody who is going to be a vote on tax reform. We need a vote potentially on Supreme Court justices down the line. Remember, that was the justification offered by Kay Ivey, the governor of Alabama. And so that's the justification, is we need a party man in that Senate seat.
So if Roy Moore stays in the race, and it certainly sounds like he intends to, and if he does win it, although he is behind in the polls at this point, that would set up a situation where the Senate Republicans would have to decide if they are going to vote to expel him. What do you think would happen if Roy Moore is in there and President Trump feels like he really needs that vote, and it looks like his own party senators might be turning against that crucial seat?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the tricky thing about it, is that if you back up just a little bit into the primary, one of the big reasons that the president endorsed Luther Strange over Roy Moore was because he thought Strange would be a more reliable vote on key health care. In fact, the most recent Senate Republican health care bill that Luther Strange supported, Roy Moore has said that he would have voted against. And so that's sort of a flaw in the president's current logic, right, which is to say that Roy Moore is kind of a maverick anyway. He's not the most reliable Republican vote because, frankly, he, sort of like Donald Trump, is not a traditional Republican. He's got sort of this populist, independent streak about him. And I think that that's one of the reasons that other Republicans in the Senate seem willing to consider taking up a vote to expel him. Now, it's hard to do. You need a two-thirds majority of the whole body. Presumably, all the Democrats would be in favor. You'd need a substantial number of Republicans to get on board as well. But they might actually do it in part because, like I said, they're not so sure that Roy Moore is going to be with them on key legislation anyway.
Briefly, today your employer, The Washington Post, published a list of allegations from 13 women who have publicly accused the president of sexual misconduct, including unwanted groping and kissing. The president denies those claims. Do you see those allegations about his own past behavior perhaps coloring his reaction to the Roy Moore issue?
Yes and no. I think you'd more easily say yes. You know, he doesn't want to condemn somebody for allegations from a long time ago, because then it sort of invites scrutiny of his own record, and why would he want to do that? Except for the fact that the president very quickly and very strongly condemned Al Franken when he was accused of groping Leanne Tweeden. So the president apparently doesn't mind criticizing other men for alleged sexual misconduct. He apparently doesn't mind inviting the scrutiny of his own record. And I think that probably comes from his experience during the campaign. I think he sort of looks at it and says, well, I weathered it once during the fall. It didn't keep me out of the White House, and so if it comes up again now, so be it. This hasn't been a losing storyline for me.
Callum, let's go to the phones, and Greg in La Crosse is up first. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, hi. To the transgender troops issue, I read an article a couple weeks ago. I think it was the Army or one of the military branches was removing a ban on individuals with mental illness or history of mental illness to, I would guess, enlarge the number of troops. So if we need troops, is there more to the expense of transgender troops than, is there more to it? I mean, if we need more troops, why are we kicking them out?
Thanks for that call. Greg, Callum?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that that's one of the key arguments that you've heard from folks like John McCain, who, of course, is a veteran and a member of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, saying, why on earth would we kick out soldiers who are competent in their jobs? However they identify is their business. And as we went over earlier, the cost is actually not all that substantial. I mean, keep in mind that not every transgender individual wants to go through gender reassignment surgery. There are many who decide that that's just not the way for them to do it. And maybe they just want to go through hormone therapy or something that's less invasive. So it's kind of a myth, A, that everybody opts for that path. It's a myth that it is overly expensive. And I think that your caller, Greg, makes an excellent point about the competence of these soldiers and the fact that the Army could use them.
Let's take another quick call from Al in Osseo. Hi, Al.
Hey, morning. Afternoon, sorry. Let's start with Ray Moore. If you think about it, I mean, there was a woman in the White House that had a stained dress and an individual that outright denied, and he didn't resign. He didn't step down. He drug the whole country through it.
Okay. Thanks for that call, Al. So this is not the first time, Al, referring to Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. This is not the first time that there have been these kind of accusations or evidence against a president.
He's right about that. And, of course, this is one of the complicated discussions going on in politics right now, which is reevaluating the way Bill Clinton and his accusers were handled in the 1990s. And I think that you've had a lot of people, including Democrats, including liberal members of the press, looking back and saying, you know what, we didn't handle this the right way. We didn't believe women as readily as we should have. We didn't hold President Clinton as accountable as we should have. At the same time, I think that those reflections can also be used to take heat off of Roy Moore now. And I think that that's part of what makes it so complicated, is that, you know, can we on one hand say things were not handled as well as they should have been 20 years ago, but that doesn't mean that we should make the same mistakes now.
Well, Callum, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a good holiday weekend.
Likewise. Happy Thanksgiving.
Callum Borchers covers the intersection of politics and the media for The Big Fix at The Washington Post. He was with us to talk about some of the week's top political news from Washington, including a couple of court decisions that have gone against Trump administration initiatives, and also Roy Moore running for the Senate in Alabama.